Good to see you. We're glad that you're here. It's finally Christmas time. It's the one day holiday that we celebrate 2 months in advance now. Everybody agree? Yeah, we were, Walmart still had pumpkins and fodder shocks in the home and garden section, and all of a sudden just started putting out Christmas trees. But I'm glad that Christmas is here. Even though, unfortunately, a lot about Christmas has become very commercialized, I still love the Christmas holiday season when we celebrate it in its appropriateness. This morning, we're going to begin a sermon series during this Christmas holiday season called It Is the Season. And obviously, if we talk about the Christmas holiday season, I think it's impossible for us to talk about Christmas without talking about gift giving. And we want to talk about gift giving this morning because even at the birth of Christ, we saw the greatest example of gift giving as God gave us His greatest gift, and as the Magi came and gave their gifts to the baby Jesus. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, I'd ask that you please stand with us as we give honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And His Word says it this way. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly, and abstained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. And listening to the king, they went their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And they saw the star, and they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed their own country to their own country by another way. You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for the opportunity that You've given us to come and to be here in Your house, Lord. The opportunity to fellowship here one with another. And Lord, as we move into the Christmas holiday season, Lord, I pray that You prepare our hearts, that You get us right, that You get us ready for the celebration of the holiday season. Lord, to this morning as we talk about this idea of gift giving, Lord, I pray that as we move into the holiday season that we'll give gifts graciously. Lord, that we will give them according to the way that You would have us to give. And Lord, I pray that we see and celebrate and rejoice in the greatest gift that we could ever receive, the gift of Your Son Jesus. Lord, Father, I pray that if there's somebody here today who's never known You, who's never began and initiated a relationship with You, that Lord, that relationship would begin now before it's everlasting too late. Lord, I pray that this morning You would use me but for a short moment in time just to share what You've laid upon my heart, the message that You have given me. So Lord, we place it all in Your hands this morning. It's in Your holy, precious name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen. We talk about things like gift giving. I don't think that there's any Christmas holiday season that would just be, you know, right, unless we gave gifts. It was appropriate to give gifts. The Magi came and they gave gifts unto the newborn baby Jesus. So I feel like it would be appropriate for me to explain gift giving in one of the best ways that I know how. So I've got some different boxes. Don't take this personally. It's a sermon illustration. Don't be offended. But Diane, this would, don't open it. Thank you. Don't open it. Guys, if you get a box, it's a plunder box. Don't worry, it's not plunder. Ladies, if you get a box, I'm sorry, it's not plunder. Tammy, this would be a good one for you. Don't open that box just yet, okay? Not till I tell you to. Braden, this would be a good gift for you. No? Oh, no. Anybody want a gift? Anybody? Somebody? Hudson? It's kind of bad when nobody wants to take gifts. Sam, come on up this way, brother. I don't want to walk all the way to the back, but I have a gift for you too. You can come up here and sit with your mother-in-law. I'm sorry, Kathy. Don't open this till I tell you to. Just sit right there, though, all right? We'll get gift giving started off right. Hudson, why don't you go ahead and open up your gift? What's it say? Yep, what's the quote underneath it say? Keeping score. I think everybody tends to be a little bit guilty of giving a gift for the purpose of giving a gift. We give a gift in order to keep score. That's that gift that somebody gives you, and in your mind you think about the gift that they've given you, and you begin to calculate in your head how much that gift is worth. Anybody do this? Honestly. Yes. Of course you do. You think about that gift and you think, oh my goodness, it's worth this. Therefore, I must give a gift that's equal into or the same amount of the gift that they have given me. We give a gift for the purpose of giving a gift. We give that gift in order that we would keep score with somebody else. Who else had a gift? Tammy, go ahead and open up your gift. Give a guilt gift. Yep. How many of us have given gifts for the purpose of which we felt guilty if we didn't? Anybody? All right. You kind of think of it like this. How many of you don't care for your boss a whole lot? A few. But how many of you give your boss a gift? Yeah, because you feel guilty if you don't. If you dislike somebody, you may give a gift just for the purpose that you don't necessarily want to feel guilty. Maybe for the same reason you give your mother-in-law or your father-in-law a gift, because you are guilted by your spouse if you don't do it. So we give gifts in order not to feel guilty sometimes, do we not? Who else had a gift? We'll save yours to the last, Braden. Go ahead. What's it say?
Get a gift for yourself, gift, because you deserve it.
That's right.
That's the only way I get you.
Yep. You give yourself a gift because you deserve it. A get yourself a gift gift. Get yourself a gift gift. You've already got your Christmas gift, haven't you, Diane? Yep. My wife has already gotten hers, and it'll be coming in the mail. She ordered it herself and said, I'd like this. Well, honey, go right ahead. So we give gifts for a lot of different reasons. Sometimes we give a gift for a gift. We give a gift because we want to keep score. Because somebody's given us something, we feel like that we should give a gift for the purpose of a gift. We give that gift sometimes because we expect something in return also. We give a gift because we want and know that something is going to come from that gift if we give it. We give favor gifts. We give guilt gifts. We give those gifts because we feel obligated, as if we have to give the gift. Sometimes we get ourselves a gift simply because, hey, you deserve it, right? You deserve it, and tell yourself you deserve it. And one of the great gifts I had to give to Sam this morning. Sam,
yes.
Open up that package. Yeah. Brother, put that on. Yes. Yep. Now somebody got me that sweater. Probably the best gift of all of these gifts that we talked about, gift giving for the purpose of guilt, giving yourself to gift because you deserve it, guilt gift giving or give a gift for a gift is the re-gift a gift, right? The idea that we re-gift something, probably the most insincere of all gifts that we would give, something that somebody has given us that we don't like ourselves, that we don't want ourselves, that serve no great purpose for us, so we give it to somebody else for the sincere purpose of just getting rid of it, right? Brother, you're welcome. Merry Christmas. As we give gifts, I think as the Magi came and gave gifts, we ought to do so first and foremost with purpose. I believe when we give gifts, we ought to give gifts with a purpose. Not just for the purpose of because we're obligated, because we feel guilty. We don't give gifts just because we deserve it. We don't give the gift for a favor or something in return, or that it's a re-gifting that we might get rid of something. I believe that our gifts ought to have a greater and a true purpose. You see, the gift of the Magi was that they could come and that they could worship baby Jesus. You know, they came to see Christ because they knew that He was. They knew that there was something great and something special about Him, that He was the Savior of the world. I believe that they knew that this was King Jesus. And as they came, they brought gifts for this newborn Savior of the world, and they did so to worship Him. It says that when the Magi came and they saw Christ, when they entered in the house, they saw Mary. It says that they fell down and they worshiped. So as we give gifts, we ought to give gifts with a great purpose. The Magi came and they gave gifts with a purpose of worship. I believe that when we give gifts, whether they be gifts that we would give to one another, or whether it be gifts that we give in return to God, I believe that our gifts should be given with a true purpose. Amen? A true purpose. I believe that God gave the greatest gift, the gift of His Son Jesus Christ, with a mighty purpose. In Matthew chapter 1 verse 21, His Word tells us what His purpose was. And she will bear a son and you will call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. Literally, if you look up the Latin translation for the word Jesus, Yeshua, it literally means Savior of the people. Literally, the name of Jesus means, for He will save His people from their sins. God sent the greatest gift that we could ever ask for, His Son Jesus Christ, with the intent and with the purpose that by and through Him, that He would be the Savior of the world, that He would save His people, that He would give of Himself freely, that you and I might go free. So I guess for me personally, I take such an enlightenment, such a feeling of being blessed from the idea that God loved me so much that as He prepared His gift for me by giving His Son Jesus, that there was a purpose within it. And that purpose was that I might be saved through His Son. That purpose for you is that you might be saved through His Son. So as we give gifts through the holiday season, I encourage you, give your gifts with a purpose. Give your gifts for the purpose of sharing love. Give your gifts with the purpose of showing how much that you care for somebody. Don't give them out of guilt. Don't give them out of the idea that you might receive something in return. Don't give them to yourself just because you deserve it. Give your gifts with a greater purpose, just as God gave the gift of His Son for the purpose that through Him we might be saved. Another thing about gift giving that I feel like is vitally important is the manner in which we give our gifts. You know, society has changed so much. Who can remember the days of when Thanksgiving or Christmas or birthdays came around when you had to write a card out and stick it in the mail to somebody that you didn't see very often? Who remembers those days? Will somebody raise your hand? Yeah, there we go. More than half of you, probably two-thirds of you, come from the generation where that handwritten cards or letters of, hey, we love you, happy birthday, Merry Christmas, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. You can remember that day. How personal is it when you sit down and write a card to somebody wishing them a happy birthday or Merry Christmas or telling them to have a good Thanksgiving? How personal is that? I believe that gift giving ought to be personal. It's something that we ought to put a little time and thought into. You know, Sam got a re-gifted gift. How much thought and time goes into a re-gifted gift? Not very much. For most of us, it's looking through the tie drawer to get the ugly tie that we got, to get the ugly sweater out of our closet, to get the socks that we don't like that somebody gave us that have Argyle pattern on them, and we stick them in a bag and we give them to somebody. How many of you have re-gifted a picture frame? Anybody? Anybody ever been re-gifted a picture frame where they forgot to take the picture out? True story. True story. Yes, we all get those re-gifts from time to time. And how impersonal is it to receive something like a re-gift? The Magi came thousands of miles in order to personally give their gifts to God's Son. Most archaeologists and biblical historians agree that the Magi were men who came from Iraq. And they made this journey on the backs of camels or on their own two feet in order that they might personally give their gifts to Christ, this newborn King. I believe that we too ought to make our gifts personal in nature. I believe we ought to give gifts personally. And we live in a generation now where it's too easy to say by Facebook Messenger or by Twitter or by Instagram or by a text message, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy Thanksgiving, Happy Birthday. I believe instead of getting into the culture of society that says that's the way that we give gifts and that's the way that we share words of encouragement, I believe we ought to go back old school. I believe that this holiday season, our gift giving ought to be done personally. When you think about that gift, it ought to have a purpose. But give the gift personally. Give it with a personal touch. Give it with a personal flair. Just as the Magi came and gave gifts that were personal unto King Jesus. God sets the standard for how we give gifts personally. God loved the world so much that He gave the gift of His only begotten Son. John 3:16 probably sums it up the best. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. How great of a gift is it when you would give something to somebody that is your only? That's the only of anything that you have. You love it. You treasure it. It's your prized possession. It's your only one. How much would you have to think of somebody that you would give them your only? Now, I don't know what your only is. That's different for all of us. But you think for yourself, what is your one and only that you have, that you possess, and who is the one person that you love and care for enough that you would gift them your one and only? For God so loved the world. God loved the world so much and everybody in it and all of His creation that He would give His one and only. I can promise you this, it's probably easier to think about giving your one and only to somebody that you like. It's probably even easier to think about giving your one and only to somebody that you really love. But for God, He gave His one and only to the whole world. To a world where He knew that some would accept, but yet some would decline. To a world where His chosen people would reject Him as their King. God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son. His only begotten Son. Who, as it says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So God was with His Son from the very beginning of time. They were always together. They had always been. And God loved the world so much that He was willing to give the world the gift of His only Son. It wasn't His second son. It wasn't His third son. It wasn't the son that He disliked or didn't like as much as the others. It was His only Son. That's as personal gets when it comes to the nature of gift giving. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Gifts ought to be given with purpose. Gifts should be given personally, just as God gave of His Son personally. But I also believe that gifts should be given properly. And we should give proper gifts. The Magi traveled thousands of miles in order that they might come and give their gifts to Jesus. They had a purpose. The purpose was that they would worship Him, and they rejoiced and they worshiped when they saw Him, and they gave their gifts, and they gave gifts that were personal in their nature, but they also gave proper gifts. You see, the Magi brought gifts that were proper and fitting for who that Jesus Christ was. The Son of God. They brought gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gifts that had individual meanings. And I don't have all the time that I would love to have to be able to expand upon the gifts that they brought. But just trust me when I tell you that the gifts that the Magi brought unto the newborn King Jesus were proper gifts fit for the King that He was. And they brought those gifts and they worshiped Him. Church, we ought to give proper gifts. As we give gifts to one another, they should be proper. They should have a purpose. They should be personally given. But I want you to know that as much as God had a purpose in giving His Son, His purpose being to save the world, as much as God gave a personal gift as He gave His only begotten Son, the only one that He had, He gave the proper and most fitting gift that He could give so that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God had to give the proper gift in order that whosoever believes would have eternal life. You see, He had to give the proper gift that had the ability to cleanse all mankind of their sin and their unrighteousness. You see, the gift of a normal human being wasn't good enough. Why? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For there is none who is righteous, no, not one. For by one man sin entered into the world. Because of those reasons, God couldn't gift us just a special man of this world. God had to gift us His only begotten Son, the Savior of the world. He gave of His Son who was perfect in every way. In Hebrews chapter 10 verse 14, the author of the text said it best, "For by a single offering He perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." By a single offering, by Christ Jesus alone, He perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Those who know Him will always be held in His hands. Those who have a relationship will always be held firm in His hands because of the single offering that He gave. Because Christ was the proper gift to get the job done, to be the Savior of the world. It doesn't take multiple deaths on the cross. It doesn't take multiple sacrifices. It took but one Savior, one time, because He was the proper gift. I believe as we give gifts, we ought to give proper gifts. Gifts that get the job done the first time around. Because God loved the world so much, and God knew that it took a Savior that could come with a perfect sacrifice and save the world. You see, God gives the proper gifts. God gives... What kind of gift you got, Braden? You see, God gives proper gifts. God gives grace gifts. He gives the gifts that we do not deserve, and He gives the gifts that we cannot repay. There's an old song that I used to hear when I was a kid growing up. And one of the lines of that song was that He paid a debt that He did not owe. He paid a debt that He did not owe. He paid a debt that I could not pay. There's so much truth in that. You see, God loved the world so much that He gave of His only begotten Son. And He gave of His only Son that He would come and that He would die on the cross, that He would shed His blood, that we could all know Him in the free pardon of sin. And He did it because He loved us. He did it for no other reason. He didn't do it because He felt guilty. God didn't give a gift of His Son Jesus because He felt guilty. God didn't give the gift of His Son Jesus because He felt that He needed to give that gift to receive something in return. God didn't re-gift His Son Jesus. He gave His only one and begotten Son. He didn't give Jesus His only Son because we deserved it. He gave us the gift of His Son because we didn't deserve it. And He gave us a gift that we absolutely cannot repay. There is nothing that you will ever do that will ever come close to repaying God's grace gift of His Son. Paul, in his writings to the church of Ephesus, Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, says this. As the praise team comes, as they prepare, as we get ready to close out our service, he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is of grace. It is because God has loved us. It is because God has given His only Son for us. Paid a debt that we could not pay, a debt that He did not owe. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. There's nothing about that grace gift that is because of you. It is all because of Him." And he says this in verse 9. He says, "It's not a result of works, so that nobody can boast." You see, sometimes we give gifts so that we can boast. How many times have we given a gift and then we told the person, "You remember when I gave you that gift?" Anybody? Yeah, absolutely. "You remember that gift I gave you? You remember how awesome that gift was that I gave you, honey?" We do that to each other all the time. How awesome that gift was. You see, we like to give gifts so that we can boast. You see, God gave us a grace gift of His Son, and He sent His only Son. Nobody can boast about that. You see, I can never boast and say that I was good enough, that I worked hard enough, that I attained salvation of my own doing. Never, never can I boast and say that. Never can you boast and say that. Now we come to a time in this part of the service when we move away from the preaching and the teaching portion, and we move into a time and an opportunity where you can come and respond to how God is working on your heart. I pray that if you're here and you've never experienced God's greatest gift of salvation, that today you would come and experience God's grace gift. That you would come and experience Christ for who that He is and what He has done. He's come and made a perfect sacrifice. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. For whosoever will. Whosoever will. Whosoever will come might be saved and have everlasting life. You can come today and be saved. Have everlasting life. Maybe you're here today and you've had a relationship with the Lord, but the relationship is less than you know that it should be. Maybe your relationship is far from what it should be. I encourage you to come this morning. If God is working on your heart and telling you that you need to get your life back on track, would you not come this morning? Make things right with God. Serve Him faithfully. Make that decision between you and the Lord and make it public. Maybe you're here and maybe you've been coming for some time. Maybe you want to come and become a part, an established part of this church. Maybe you want to move your membership and become an active member of our church and come together that we may faithfully serve and love one another together as we go forward in our great mission. You come. Maybe you just need to come and pray. Maybe you just want to come and pray. Maybe there's people in your family that are lost and you want to pray for them. Maybe you want to pray for your church. Maybe you want to pray for our youth. Maybe you want to come and pray for me. I always tell you, if you have nothing else to pray for me, because I need your prayers. Come this morning, however God is leading you. Father, Lord, as we close out this service, I pray that hearts will be obedient. I pray that hearts will respond. Lord, we turn it all over to You. We ask for the continued leadership of Your Spirit. It's all this we ask in Your holy, precious name. Amen.
Let's all stand together.
Jesus.